The views and opinions expressed on this show or any other show on Hronko Radio Network are not necessarily those reflective of Hronko Radio owners, affiliates, or local sponsors. Any hurt feelings or mixed emotions infringing upon the VC movement should be referred to Hronko's Human Services Department, which can be reached at blah 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 blah, to which time you will be told to shut it. On behalf of Hronko Radio Network, I would like to take this time now to thank you from the bottom of our blackened souls. Thank you! Ha 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 ha!
Ah, it is so good to see you again, sir. I see you have brought your friends with you this time. Very good, sir. Would you like your usual table? Right this way then, sir. Please follow me.
Who are we kidding? We're not that stuffy.
I knew I was being threatened. Do you think it's worth holding out? I mean, I've heard some pretty ugly things about those guys. Ugly stories. Watch them
free! Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Politics Cafe, where we sit down and discuss anything and everything. No holds barred. Bring any topic to the table. We don't care. We'll discuss it. Come on in. Sit down. Take a load off. Now, the host of the show, Mark.
All right, and greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow conversationalists around the world, and welcome once again to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in internet talk radio. The Politics Cafe is a small cafe located on an isolated stretch of the information superhighway, where we get together once a week and grill up some fresh topics for your digestion. And fresh topics we have aplenty. Got a full menu here tonight, folks. No way we're going to get through it all, but let's see if we can't hit the salient points tonight. It's totally amazing. First, top of the news here tonight. Gold, over $1,400 an ounce. All right, this is moving upwards and onwards, and for reasons, well, sure, we got plenty of reasons. Let's stop and think about some of the reasons that we have out there. QE2, ring a bell? Quantitative easing 2, the Fed getting ready to buy back $600 billion of its own bonds. Now, these are bonds that are sitting in banks all around. Fed wants to buy these bonds back from the banks. Okay, now look, these are bonds that the banks bought from the Fed that they're holding on to, that they use in reserves, that they can write loans against. And this way, the Fed is going to buy these bonds back, which will inject the cash into these banks, hoping that the banks is going to lend the money right back out. Now, are the banks going to do this? Well, we don't really know. All right, the banks are still looking at uncertain financial regulations coming into the future here. Do they really want to let go of that money really fast, get it all out there, and then find out that they have broken laws or done other things that's going to cause some reason for them not to get that money back, not to have it back on interest? Tough call there. Real tough call. But once again, we're looking at gold going way up. You know, what else does this mean? Does it mean a lowered confidence in the U.S. dollar? Well, presumably. Tell you what, folks, it's generally the first thing that it means, you know. Now, do we have reasons to believe this? Well, let's stop and think about a couple of things right now. Right now, we have our president being paraded around the eastern part of the globe, India, China, Seoul, Japan, making a few trips over there, all around. Started out in India. Now, of course, this is under the guise of quite a few things going on here. Number one, you hear that Obama is backing India's drive for UN power. You know, now this one down off of New Delhi today. I'm just going to read the headlines off of here. U.S. President Barack Obama backed India's quest for a permanent UN Security Council seat, inviting the world's largest democracy to take its rightful place at the summit of global power. Of course, it's going to do something like that. And why is it? Because Obama's also over there asking the Indians to buy our bonds, all right, to finance our debt going into the future here. Where else is it going to go? Is it into China and whatnot? Now the Indians, I don't know what's going to happen. There isn't too much news coming out of India. But one place there is a lot of news coming out of, all right, is from our main buyer of these things, the Chinese. All right, now here, folks, we have got no less over on the People's Daily Online, the official newspaper of the Chinese people. We have no less than 8 different articles talking about just this. All right, number one article on the top of the list here, okay? China shows concern and questions over U.S. new monetary policy. China said today that it was concerned with and has questions about the U.S. new monetary policy and will discuss it with the U.S. at the upcoming G20 summit in Seoul. Vice Minister of Finance Zhu Guangyao made the remarks at a press briefing on President Hu Jintao's attendance to the meeting. Responding to questions concerning the U.S. Federal Reserve's second round of quantitative easing, QE2. Now, the Fed plans to purchase $600 billion worth of government bonds in a bid to revive the sluggish U.S. economy. We will have a candid discussion with the U.S. side. We hope its macroeconomic policy can be conducive to the development of the world economy. Not the contrary, Zhu said. This is the second round of such stimulus measures after to the U.S. Federal Reserve purchased $1.7 trillion worth of mortgage-backed securities and treasury notes between December 2008 and March 2010 in a bid to keep the economy from plunging into another Great Depression. The current situation is totally different from the time of the first round. There's no shortage of funds in the financial market, Zhu said. He urged the United States to realize its responsibility and obligation as a major currency-issuing country and take responsible macroeconomic policies. The communique of the meetings of G20 finance ministers and central bank governors has stressed that countries with systemic influence should pay attention to the spillover effect of their macroeconomic policy. As the recovery of the world economy is still unstable, a responsible macroeconomic policy will not only be good for the United States, but also the world as a whole, the Vice Finance Minister said. He added that China will hold candid discussions with the U.S. side on the issue as part of the dialogue on the macroeconomic policies. The G20 summit will be held from November 11th to 12th in Seoul of the Republic of Korea. That's amazing, folks. Now, don't forget, all right, right now you're looking at gold going up. And what do we have? We have the major concerns of this country parading our president around the world, trying to get the world to buy our bonds. Now, look, folks, this does not look good any way you look at it. I don't care what anybody says. All right, yeah, okay. I keep hearing this crybaby crap from the left. Well, we get a little more of a stimulus here after what the Bush administration did and spent us into a hole, blah, 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 blah. You know, it might be all we need to just get over this hump and get back on our feet and get our manufacturing back up. Look, the economy is turning around. Look, the stock market's going up. Look at this. No, I'm not buying any of it. I'm sorry. All right? But the way I see it right now, our president is out there begging. Does this look good? Does it look good for the United States to have the president of the United States begging around the Far East? Not at all. Okay? We have another one here from another right out of the China's newspaper. What do we call this? The People's Daily Online. This one here, a senior Chinese foreign affairs official said Friday that the United States should give an appropriate explanation for its latest relaxed monetary policy, urging the U.S. to take a responsible attitude as a major reserve currency issuing country. Okay, now he goes through and describes pretty much the same thing from this, okay? Second round of measures, blah, 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 blah. But now this guy, Chinese Vice Foreign Minister Qiu Tiangkaki, says, for the Fed's new relaxed monetary policy, many countries have expressed worries about what impact it would impose on financial stability. The new U.S. monetary policy will affect not only emerging economies, but also developed ones. While urging the United States to take a responsible attitude, quote-unquote, as a major reserve currency-issuing country, Kui quoted financial experts by saying that the issuance of banknotes in a reckless manner is, in fact, a disguised form of currency manipulation. Now, this is the Chinese talking about our currency situation, folks. Kui believed that the latest U.S. monetary policy is likely to lead to spillover effects, which may eventually evolve into flooding if not restricted. The international community has every reason to feel worried. So the U.S. side owes it a proper explanation for the move, Q. He said, well, I'll tell you what, it owes more than the world does. It owes it to the American people. And this is something, folks, we have changed Congress. All right, we now have a Republican majority in Congress. We are going to have a Republican as Speaker of the House. Things have got to turn around on this monetary front. All right, we have got Rand Paul in there, and I cannot believe what Rand Paul came out in the news here today and said today. It's just unbelievable. Turned around and said that he would make sure that Kentucky got its share of earmarks, which totally, you got to imagine, it's just pissing off the Tea Party to no extent whatsoever. Now, personally, I'm here to give the man the benefit of the doubt. I want to wait and see what's going on here. One of the earliest things I heard in the news today, and you folks have all heard me talk about my friend Colonel Alan West, who has won the 22nd District in Florida today, he came out and made the announcement that he is joining the Black Caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives. And it's like, I said, what the hell is he thinking? And I'm like, no, this can't be real. I didn't get time to get a call into him today. I had a busy day today. But I did see Alan West interviewed tonight on Fox Business News. And Alan is going in there to just shove the status quo, baby. He is going in there to say, what the hell is going on? He fully expects them to reject his offer for membership. But he turns around and he says, eminently, I am qualified. I am black. There is no reason for them to turn me down. He says, the only way they're going to be able to turn me down is to change the name of their caucus. They're going to have to call it the Liberal Black Democrat Caucus or the Liberal Socialist Caucus or something else other than the Black Caucus. He says, because if it's just a black caucus, well, then I have every bit to join it, and I have every bit to add my variations on my voice into that body. He said, and it's great. So it's Alan West, congratulations. You are the man. I knew you were going to go in there and shake things up, and you are. Once again, folks, I am looking forward to this man's career going long and far. He is the single smartest human being walking the face of the earth today. But, folks, I'm here to tell you something. You know, there's a few things I was speaking about, and I don't know if I spoke about it so much on the show here as I did in the chat rooms and whatnot, but I said, you know, one of the worst things that could possibly happen here is if the Democrats end up losing this election badly, like they have. And folks, it ain't over yet. There's still 12 states out there. There's still 12 congressional districts that are undecided. And every single one of them is expected to go Republican in the end. If it goes there, you know, I said to myself, I would not put it past the lame duck Congress to do something stupid, to bring about some sort of an emergency, to say either or a parting shot, or whatever the hell you want to call it, but to do something wicked, ugly, and mean to either A, get even, or B, ruin it for the Republicans on a forever basis. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, why do you think this move to India and this visit to China and all around was put off until after the election? Because I'm going to tell you what, it's not going to work. I really don't believe that what he's going to do going around out there is going to work. I don't think it stands a chance. I really don't. And, you know, watching a lot of things here the last few weeks, watching Mr. I don't know if you guys watched Mr. Glenn Beck last week. He's 15 days of a countdown to the time when China stops buying our bonds. Now, at this point in time, they are still buying them. All right, make no mistake about it. They are still moving around. But the Fed is planning to make this big move, and it is looking bad all around the world. Some of the other prognoses out there, I would do this, folks. If you're smart right now, take a hard look at silver. Silver, totally undervalued, might be something that you want to look into on a long-range basis or even a short-term basis at this point in time to make yourself a huge chunk of change. The thing about it is this, folks. You know, you can make a whole lot of money if you believe that the money is still going to be worth something when it's time for you to go sell it. Tough call there. But I'll tell you, it's not going to go down in price. Not from here on out. Not with the way the Federal Reserve is moving. Not with some of the things that are coming out. I fully expect Ron Paul to manage to make his way onto the onto the committee. Let me see. I believe I have got something down on here tonight in one of them. We'll get to it at some point here, though. He is going to be chairing a committee that will allow him to push into auditing the Federal Reserve. And that is going to be something else. We also expect them to be backed up by his son, Rand Paul. There are already 206 members of Congress that have signed on to him auditing the bill. All right, don't forget, he still needs 291 to get any kind of motions out of it. But he's up to 206, 207, something along that lines here. Okay, with the incoming Tea Party members, with the incoming Republicans, that may emerge. These things could happen. All right, I do expect to see something happen to come out of there. All right, moving around here. This all has to do with gold going up. All right, is it a time to buy into gold? Is it going to go back around again? Well, that's a decision you got to make on your own. If it was me, though, do you want my advice on the situation? I'll tell you right now to buy silver. That is where you want to go. All right, now, on top of all this, the Supreme Court today refuses to hear the health care law appeal. All right, this is down off of Washington, down off the AFP. And as always, all articles read on this program are for informational, discussional, and educational reasons only. Yeah, moving 100 miles an hour here, folks, even without the caffeine. I gave up nicotine last week. It's been an entire week since I have smoked a cigarette. Coming down with that cold. You guys all heard me with this cold that I had for a month. I finally gave up with it. I went to the doctor last week. I got some heavy-duty antibiotics. Seems to be knocking it out of me, and I've got energy at the wazoo again. Well, up to a point. My wife would tell you the opposite, but I am moving right along. At any rate, Supreme Court refuses health care law appeal. Supreme Court today refused to hear a legal challenge to President Barack Obama's health care reform law, with the case not yet having wound its way through the lower U.S. courts. The Supreme Court, the judicial authority of last resort, declined to hear the case brought by Steve Baldwin and the Pacific Justice Institute, which has filed a federal lawsuit in California challenging the new massive health care law. The plaintiffs asked the court to determine whether Congress has the constitutional power to decree that every American must purchase health insurance by 2014, as mandated in the law. Their petition asked the court to determine whether the individual mandate provision exceeds Congress power under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution by regulating and taxing a citizen's decision not to participate in interstate commerce. For example, decision not to purchase health care insurance. The justices declined to take the case without comment. The case has yet to receive a ruling from an appeals court in California, making it premature for the Supreme Court to intervene. The health care reform bill, Obama's signature for controversial achievement during his first 2 years in the White House, was signed into law in March. Various U.S. states have vowed to fight the bill, which passed after months of bitter wrangling in Congress. Since its passage, some members of the newly elected conservative U.S. Congress have vowed to use various legislative stratagems to prevent the bill from being put into effect. Other lawmakers have vowed to work to repeal the controversial measure. Among the justices weighing in on the case was Elena Kagan, the newest judge in the 9-strong bench, and Obama's former Solicitor General. There has been speculation that as a former member of the Obama administration, Kagan might choose to recuse herself from the case. Woo. Now, that would tilt it the other way now, wouldn't it? But we will see what happens here. At any rate, folks, you're going to hear a lot of grief coming down over the next few days. You're going to hear the libs out there saying, look, the Supreme Court isn't going to look at it because it's law. It's already settled, blah, 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 blah. No. Okay? The Supreme Court isn't looking at it yet for one simple reason. It is in the lower courts. The lower courts have yet to rule on it. Once the lower courts have ruled, if they do not rule in favor of the plaintiff will have the right to take it to the Supreme Court on appeal. But it's got to pass or fail in the lower courts first. So don't believe any of the grief that you hear coming out of the left who will be lying through their teeth tomorrow. All right, count on that. Count on them lying in the chat rooms and count on them lying in the editorial sections of your local newspapers. Just something to be counted on. All right, elsewhere, upwards and onwards into the news. We got plenty of stuff out here tonight, folks. That was crazy. Okay. No more craziness. Okay. Oh, here's the one. We talked about Yemen last week and what the hell was going on. All right. This one here, you might have to applaud Obama a little bit. U.S. officials today extended a ban on air cargo from Yemen to include Somalia and slapped new restrictions on passenger goods on U.S.-bound international flights after a foiled parcel bomb plot. From Monday, no high-risk cargo will be allowed on passenger aircraft. Homeland Security Secretary Jet adding that international mail would also be screened individually. A ban on all cargo flights from Yemen, imposed after last month's plot was narrowly averted, will be extended and imposed on Somalia as well, she said. Toner and ink cartridges over 16 ounces will be prohibited on passenger aircraft and both carry-on bags and checked bags on domestic and international flights inbound to the United States. All right, folks, leave your cartridges in your printers. Don't put them in your pocketbook. Canada announced several similar measures several hours later. Transport Minister Chuck Straw said that over the next 14 days, Canada would accept no air cargo or mail from Yemen and Somalia as Ottawa conducts a further risk assessment. Two packages addressed to Chicago synagogues containing the hard-to-detect explosives PETN hidden in printer ink cartridges were uncovered in Dubai and Britain's East Midlands Airport on October 28, sparking a global scare. Al-Qaeda's wing in Yemen on Friday claimed responsibility for the parcel bomb threat and also said it downed an airliner from the cargo carrier UPS in Dubai in September. French officials have said one of the bombs was only 17 minutes from exploding, although that account has not been confirmed by other governments. The Transportation Security Administration has ordered airlines to begin implementing the new measures, which also mean that all cargo identified as high risk will be subjected to extra and enhanced screening at airports. These measures will also affect inbound international mail packages, which must be screened individually and certified to have come from an established postal shipper, Napolitano said. I wonder what the hell that is. The administration is also working closely with industry and our international partners to expedite the receipt of cargo manifests for international flights to the United States prior to departure in order to identify and screen items based on risk and current intelligence. TSA head John Pistole visited Yemen last week to discuss with the government how to carry out the security improvements needed before the ban can be lifted. Now, Yemeni Foreign Minister Kirby Abu Bakr al-Kurbi told the Abu Dhabi Daily that National on Monday that Yemen had imposed measures of its own. Yemen has now, of course, put additional curbs on sending cargo, he said. For cargo, they used to rely on companies that are in charge of sending this cargo because they are responsible for inspecting them for safety. The government has now had to intervene directly to place restrictions. I can just imagine. These guys are too funny. Yeah, too much going on over there. At any rate, folks, it's we're looking for something there, and hey, damn, something didn't happen. You gotta love it. Okay, U.S. law enforcement. Now, this is out of the realm of politics, but I just had to get into this with you today because there's something else under all this. U.S. officials have rescued 69 child prostitutes following a massive three-day operation spanning dozens of U.S. cities, federal law enforcement authorities said today. In a 72-hour time span, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, working along state and local police, also arrested 885 people, including nearly 100 alleged pimps. The U.S. to be a significant problem in our country, as evidenced by the number of children rescued through the continued efforts of our Crime Against Children's Task Force, said Sean Henry, Executive Assistant Director of the FBI's Criminal Cyber Response and Services Branch. There is no work more important than protecting America's children and freeing them from the cycle of victimization, Henry said. The nationwide operation, dubbed the Innocence Lost National Initiative, was carried out in 40 cities across the United States, targeting such places as truck stops, casinos, and websites, among other venues, in a bid to combat child prostitution. Over the years, the Innocent Lost Task Force has reclaimed some 1,200 children from the streets, U.S. officials said, and led to some 625 criminal convictions with lengthy prison sentences. This is 21st century slavery, said Ernie, and exploited children in a statement to the press. Why didn't we hear about this anywhere else? 40 cities around this country, these people went on a spree today. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, along with the FBI and along with local police, went on a spree for 40 cities around, arrested 885 people, including nearly 100 pimps. And for some strange reason, we don't hear about this on any of the other news. Did anybody hear this anywhere else? I'd love to hear it if you have. You know, email me here at the show, politicscafe@gmail.com. All right, we got time for one more before the break. I ain't sure. I think they could be running a little long here. Okay, the don't ask, don't tell debate's going to get picked back up in the Senate. You got to love that. Okay, where else? Oh, yes, we're going to get into the BP well, the probe going on in that, and a few other things here after the break. But folks, right now we're at the bottom of the hour. Time for us to take a short break here at the Politics Cafe. We'll be right back after this word from Bob. Don't forget, stop over at www.herncode.com. Take a look through the gift shop and the other fine things we have there. Listen to some music, and we'll be right back.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars. And one day, I was put into juvie for 2 stolen cars, robbery of a house, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared. I mean, I was on drugs, and my mom didn't really care because she was on drugs. She was never home.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out. And now that I'm 15, I have 2 babies.
I was heading nowhere. I just thought, the only way I can make something out of my life is if I get an education. One day I was locked up. That's when I really realized that, I mean, it wasn't for me. Like, I was only in there 2 months, but to me that was enough. It'd be better for me to stay in school, just get my education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself.
Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
All right, this next question is for Caroline. Caroline, if you take the bus 60 miles to school at 5:30 a.m. and the bus is traveling at an average of 30 miles per hour, how are you going to get to your prenatal appointment and still make it to homeroom on time?
Some students are tackling more than just their schoolwork, which is why more than 30% of them aren't graduating. But you can give them the boost they need to make it through by visiting boostup.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
And we're back. You're listening to the Politics Cafe at www.herncope.com, the best in internet talk radio. Your host, my name is Mark Belcher. Be with you for the next half an hour here. Get through the rest of the craziness that is going on out there. Now this, you're going to hear a lot about this coming tomorrow. I don't expect much is going to come out of this, but just so you can say you heard it here first, this is by Malum Rising off of the AP. Swedish prosecutor said today he will investigate surveillance activities allegedly carried out by the U.S. Embassy in Stockholm without the country's knowledge. Now, this is what are we going to spy on Sweden for? Prosecutor Thomas Lindstrand said he will determine if intelligence laws were violated by the actions, including what officials described as photographing and gathering information about individuals in Sweden. Swedish officials have said that they knew the U.S. Embassy applied security measures around the embassy, but didn't know that Swedish citizens were being monitored. Justice Minister Beatrice Ask alleged Saturday that people linked to the embassy had performed the surveillance since 2000, without fully informing Swedish authorities. The American embassy has denied the activities were secret and said they were part of a normal security precautions. The announcement came after Norway last week asked the United States to clarify surveillance activities there, following a TV report suggesting it had systematically monitored Norwegian residents during the past 10 years. Officials in Oslo said they were unaware of such actions. Now, Lindstrand said the activities in Sweden could be illegal if they involved systematic collection of information about individuals and were kept secret. But, he added, most foreign surveillance programs in the country are legal. I will look into what kind of activities has been going on, the dimension of activities, and if they have been secret, everything, he told the Associated Press. Officials at the U.S. Embassy in Stockholm couldn't be reached for comment Monday. On Saturday, the embassy said its activities in Sweden were not secret. It said the security programs in Stockholm and U.S. embassies were adopted after the 1998 Nairobi and Dar es Salaam embassy bombings, in which American missions had been under terrorist surveillance before the attacks. The U.S. stands ready to answer any questions the government of Sweden might ask us on this program, the brief embassy statement said. All right, that sounds good to me. I got no problem with that. I also have no problem with them looking around and seeing what else can find. All right, sorry folks, but we were attacked by people on 9/11/01 that had access all over this world. They were in Hamburg, Germany. They were in Yemeni. They were all over. All right, so let's face it. Sorry, you know, if we're doing some spying on your people, we'll share it with you. Don't worry if the time comes we find something bad. You know, we're not gonna just drag them out of your country without letting you know, or at least after we do it. But yeah, I'm sorry. Nah. Our spy activity is up on the increase. Hey, I got a problem with that? Nah. Sorry, don't have a problem with that. All right, what else we got coming down here off the AP? There's something else that I really wanted to take a look at. Okay, ooh, here we go. Now, this one you're going to like. Okay. This by Julie Hirschfeld Davis, down with the AP. To help lead the GOP's transition to power in the House, Republicans today tapped two newly elected congressmen who drew Tea Party backing in their campaigns. Now, Adam Kinzinger of Kinzinger of Illinois and Tim Scott of South Carolina, who won endorsements by Sarah Palin and support from Tea Party activists, are part of a 22-member team charged with crafting new rules and smoothing the GOP shift from minority to majority. The team, led by Representative Greg Walden of Oregon and headquartered in the basement of the Capitol, was to gather over Chinese food today, this evening, in Republican leader John Boehner's office suite and meet again Tuesday. The team included several seasoned veterans and influential members. 15-term Representative David Dreyer of California, in line for his second stint as head of the powerful Rules Committee, Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, in line to head the Budget Committee, and Representative Pete Sessions of Texas, the Campaign Committee Chief. Now, Representative Doc Hastings of Washington, one of a large crop of GOP lawmakers who came to Congress 16 years ago, the last time Republicans gained control of the House, is part of the group. Two other freshmen, Cory Gardner of Colorado and Martha Roby of Alabama, are also on the roster. Now, Walt said he didn't choose the team based on whether they had Tea Party backing, telling reporters last week that he wasn't sure whether those he was recruiting were supported by the conservative libertarian movement. It's a nice cross-section of our Republican Congress, he said of the group. But it's clear Republicans are aware that the grassroots movement that helped propel them to big wins in last week's election will be an important part of their new House majority and bolstered Senate minority. In a nod to the new blood, Boehner, Republican of Ohio, and Representative Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia, in line to be Speaker and Majority Leader, told freshmen they would get a larger voice on major decisions next year. In a letter to the newly elected members, they said the class would get two posts instead of the customary one on the influential panel that hands out committee assignments, as well as a representative in the ranks of the House leadership. The first termers comprise no ordinary freshman class, and this is no ordinary time for our nation, Boehner and Cantor wrote. Many of the new elected Republicans are political novices, including a pizzeria owner and a gospel-singing farmer. All four first-termers on the transition team have some degree of experience in elected office. Scott and Gardner have been state legislators, while Roby has served as a city councilwoman and Kinzinger on a county board. Freshmen arrive on Capitol Hill for orientation next week, when Republicans and Democrats will also elect leaders. All right, now, folks, Tea Party's coming down here. one thing that the rest of us, as members of the Tea Party, and you know, as members of this country, and as people who are concerned with where we are going, this is not the time to sit back and watch what they are going to do. And I repeat that. This is not the time to say, okay, we have elected these people, let's see what they're going to do. No. Now is the time you get right on the horn and you tell them what it is you expect them to do. Get onto the intergalactic communication devices that you have. You have a telephone. There are plenty of numbers. And if you, I should know the number right off the top of my head. I believe it's 800-234-2323. Or 2121. Tell you what, before the show is over, or at least, well, I can't do it before the show is over, but tell you what, we're going to have Congress's number here for you next week. And that's going to be part of the ritual around here, that we call Congress once a week. Let them know what we are up to, what it is that we want. All right, Rand Paul. One real simple explanation as to why you are saying your Fox News did one hell of a polling on this. All right, when polled, 98% of all Americans said they favor removing the earmarks altogether. Okay, that's democracy, folks. All right, when they tell you no, all right. We're going to question democracy whenever the democracy starts turning around saying it's time to steal from the people. Okay? Democracy is always a bad thing when it's taking. But when it's allowing people to do what they want to do, sorry. All right? This is one of those cases right now here, folks. All right? We are going to tell them right up front, no earmarks, none of that shit. We're going to get right down on every one of these guys. We want to pound them down. We want to tell them. We want the Department of Education gone. We want this health care bill overturned, removed, done. We want it back into the hands of the states where it belongs. Okay, we want health care to go back into the hands of, that's right, or they're going to be out next time. Forget it. You know, you could serve a few years in here getting things done the way we want it done, or you can spend 2 years and turn around and I'm going to tell you, don't let the doorknob hit you in the ass on the way out. It's going to be that simple. Do not need this. This is, and especially you freshmen that are coming in here. You all came in here with big ideals. You all told us what was wrong, what was going down. All right, well, we elected you. It is that time. Time to buck up here. Now, it is not time for us, though, to just sit back and let them do whatever. It's, yeah, I'll tell you what, folks, just insanity running amok. All right, now, a couple other things. We still got from around the world here that I do not want to overlook here. Now, this hey, a little crazy here, but Republican objections to the new U.S.-Russia START nuclear arms reduction treaty are red herrings that could thrust the two countries into a dangerous era of uncertainty, a senior U.S. official said today. This is down off the Reuters News Network. Undersecretary of State Ellen Tauscher, who led the U.S. side negotiating the new START deal, said it was important the Senate ratify the treaty next month or it may lose the chance to engage with Russia on a range of arms control efforts. We've had a lot of controversy about this, and I think, frankly, is a lot of red herrings, Tauscher told an audience at the U.S. Institute for Peace, a Washington think tank. While nuclear weapons can be considered to be political, arms reductions treaty should not be. This has taken on an air of being politicized way beyond where it should be. I don't think it's being enough. U.S. President Barack Obama and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev signed the START deal in April, committing the former Cold War foes to cut deployed nuclear weapons by about 30%, and what was hailed as the most prominent dividend of Obama's effort to reset relations with the Kremlin, as if that was necessary. But there. Proponents of the treaty said that while the reduction in nuclear warheads is important, the most significant element of the accord is that it continues the verification and monitoring regime that expired with the end of the START 1 treaty. Republicans, who control enough votes in the Senate to block its passage, have voiced concerns that the treaty may limit U.S. anti-missile defenses. They also say it should be matched by a commitment to modernize U.S. nuclear forces. Obama said he hopes the Senate will act on the treaty during the lame duck session of Congress that begins on November 15, but it was unclear if Republicans would permit ratification. A lame duck period is the time between a congressional election in November and the start of a new Congress in January. Obama's fellow Democrats says, but we're going to have to get into any further than this. Well, we're going to see what's going to happen down the road here. Yeah. See, now, this is another thing. Did you folks out there knew he signed a new START deal back in April? I don't remember hearing that in the news. Awful funny. It doesn't seem to me. I remember reporting on that in the news, and it is one of those kind of things I would have missed had it been out there. Pretty damned amazing. Well, let's see what's going to happen here. It's, we do not want to lose any missile defenses that we have got cooking right now, especially when you have things like Iran looming in the forefront, also Pakistan looming in the forefront. Mr. Obama, good luck. Good luck putting it together with India and Pakistan. I don't know how much luck you're going to have, but if you can do pull anything off there, hey, God bless you. Good luck at it. All right, yes, he was surveilling you. All right, now, upwards and onwards into the news tonight. Come on, baby. What happened to me blickering my clicker here? All right, well, we don't have to go that further down there. We can go right back over to here and take another look. I got four or five of these lists. Okay, yeah, Bush has got a book out there, but I'm not going to get into Bush's book until after I've read it. Okay, now we're here. Here we go. This is going to be fun. Now, this is one of the kind of things that I am actually looking for. A lot of people are saying, you know, geez, nothing at all is going to get done over the next couple of years. There's a lot of people, a lot of us out there who actually kind of find that enjoyable. Might be exactly what needs to happen here. Nothing getting done. But at any rate, Republicans flexed their newfound political muscle yesterday by promising a string of investigations into Barack Obama's administration, as the president vowed to make some quote-unquote corrections. By seizing the House of Representatives in Tuesday's midterm elections, Republicans gained the chairmanship of powerful House committees that can seek to embarrass the president by calling top aides to testify in public. Going to go after a lot of things, and I'm going to do a lot of investigating, Representative Daryl Issa, who was set to take control of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, told Fox News Sunday. Former Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush faced epic showdowns with the House committees after crushing midterm defeats in 1994 and 2006, respectively. Issa said it was possible he would probe allegations the White House offered to give Democratic Representative Joe Sestak an administration post if he stayed out of a Senate primary race. Sestak won the primary against Senator Arlen Specter, the White House's preferred candidate, and ended up narrowly losing to Republican nominee Pat Toomey. No, it wasn't that narrow, thank you very much. Other targets of the committees are expected to be Obama's health care reforms, the Justice Department's failure to probe alleged voter intimidation by the new Black Panther Party, and that one could get stinky on him, and the handling of the BP oil spill. You know, now, I'm here to tell you, I don't think Barack Obama called the Black Panthers and asked them to police the polling places. I'm sorry. All right, I believe there's a lot of black leadership out there that would have done this, but Barack Obama himself pulling that one off? No. I ain't buying into it. However, as Richard Nixon got nailed in Watergate, something tells me somewhere along the line he knew about it and didn't do anything. So this could get real stinky on him real fast. Now, the White House has yet to say how it plans to respond, but Obama, on a 10-day trip through Asia, which we talked about at the top of the program, you know, on the begging tour, offered his most candid appraisal yet of the crushing poll losses. People are frustrated, the president told a meeting with Indian students in Mumbai. Requires me to make some mid-course corrections and adjustments to the Sunday morning talk shows to attack the president over big spending, plans to increase taxes for the rich. I love that. Health care chief Mitch McConnell, the leading Republican in the Senate, told CBS's Face the Nation they didn't like the spending, they didn't like the debt, they didn't like the health care bill, and they wanted to have a mid-course correction. That's what they voted for. Republicans will struggle to repeal health care as Obama has the power to veto such a bid. But Tea Party favorite Rand Paul, a new senator in Kentucky, suggested its constitutionality would be challenged at a state level. Federal judge in both Florida and Virginia have said, yes, we're going to go forward with this, Paul told ABC's This Week program. Aha, see what I tell you, folks. This is what's happening with this in the federal courts out there. So don't let the libs get you all upset saying, oh, the Supreme Court ain't even going to hear it. The Supreme Court isn't going to hear it yet. now. So I think you will see that this challenge going forward. We will challenge it in the courts. Republicans also sent blood over the Bush-era tax cuts, which were set to expire on December 31. After refusing steadfastly before the midterms to extend cuts for the richest Americans, warning that doing so would add over $700 billion over 10 years to the swollen U.S. deficit, Obama has since signaled he may compromise and offer a temporary extension. Democratic nominee for governor Alex Sink, meanwhile, accused the Obama administration of being tone deaf after she narrowly lost to a Tea Party-backed candidate, Rick Scott, in Florida. Not too bad. They weren't interested in hearing my opinion on what was happening on the ground of the oil, with the oil spill. They never acknowledged that they had problems with the acceptance of health care reform. Scott, who was once forced to resign as CEO of a private health care company, convicted of massive Medicare fraud, overcame his own checkered past largely by linking Sink to the president. People preferred to vote for somebody with questionable ethics rather than for somebody who was associated with the Washington Democratic agenda, Sink told the Washington newspaper Politico. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, a leading Republican tipped for a White House run in 2012, conceded that midterm success wasn't a clear endorsement of his party, which is still widely unpopular according to opinion polls. You gotta love this. This is who wrote this here? Emmanuel Patissé. Oh, sorry, Emmanuel, but you're painting this the wrong way, and it ain't working out for you, bud. Ain't working out at all. You gotta love it. Yeah, just gotta love it. The Dems, now, of course, the mainstream media, you know, they're still making apologies. They're still going to come down on the Republicans very, very hard. But the fact of the matter is, let them. You know, it doesn't matter, okay? Because the people that are going to be coming down on the Republicans and on the Tea Party candidates that just got elected are the rest of us. You know, as I said here tonight, we are not going to sit back. We're not going to sit around and watch what they are going to do and then cry this way or that. It is time for us to take the direction. They represent us. They follow us, okay? They work for us. You know, the idea here is to let them know what their job is now. You know, we gave them a job to do. Let them know exactly what that job is. Get in there and repeal the health care bill. Have at it with every single thing you got. Look, if you get this thing in there for repeal, and the president vetoes it, don't sweat it. We're going to swell your ranks up the next time around and get it done. That's all there is to it. Another 2 years will come around as long as you work hard on it. But if you sit down and compromise and give it some crap where we still end up having to buy, you know, insurance from some, government-granted monopolist company, you know, we're going to have a problem with you. You will be back out of there. But work on it, folks, okay? Many other things, too. Department of Education needs to go, all right? Many, many things. Department of Energy needs to go. All right, other things out there in the news here today that I have not talked about, but I am very glad to hear that the car companies are now turning around and balking at the 35-mile per gallon shot that was thrown at them last Christmas, almost 2 years ago now. You folks all remember, long-time listeners of the show, remember I had a funeral right here on this show for the American car companies when they raised the CAFE regulations to 35 miles per gallon, 35 and a half miles per gallon, whatever it is. All right, it was insanity at the time. I said it would bring about the ruin of the car companies, and it did. All right, now they're trying to pull off the exact same thing with the trucking industry out there, all right, trying to get another 40 to 60% worth of mileage out of trucks. I'm sorry. Trust me, folks. Everybody wants that kind of mileage out of trucks. Everybody is out there working very, very hard trying to get that mileage. With the price of diesel fuel having gone up as high as it is. And one thing I need to clear up out there. For a lot of you folks out there on the right and the left who do not understand why diesel fuel is now more expensive than gasoline when it never was. All right, first thing out of the cracker, it's diesel fuel. It's not, it doesn't have to sit in there as long enough to become kerosene or gasoline or anything else. Well, look, okay, yes, it was the first thing coming out of the cracker. There's no doubt about it. But the fact of the matter is, it was coming out of there with a lot of sulfur. All right, this is where yours truly turns into his own brand of environmentalist. All right, you know, this is, look, don't ever mistake me for a left winger. Okay, I am a conservationist. I am a sportsman. I am a fisherman. I am a hunter. I am a hiker. I am somebody who likes to camp and enjoy the outdoors. All right, it is that simple. All right, I am also somebody who has to suffer with all the acid-destroyed lakes up here in the Northeast. Oil bought all over the world without any regard whatsoever to the sulfur content. Sulfur was getting burned, sulfur was getting dumped into the air, the sulfur was causing acid rain, destroying lakes, turning them into weed-choked puddles. All right, it was that simple. All right, that had to change. The sulfur had to get scrubbed out of it. Okay, I have a brother who actually drove for the oil companies and who has been installing these scrubbers on the cracking towers for the last 5 or 6 years. All right, so this is one of the federal mandates that I don't have a problem with. All right, when it comes to a lot of environmental regulations, don't ever get the idea that I'm getting behind global warming and cap and trade. All right, but where you can do something to directly affect the quality of the environment, such as scrubbing the sulfur out of diesel fuel, I don't have a problem with it. All right, the diesel fuel burns a little cleaner, a little better, a little more energy out of it. You know, this is just one of them kind of things here. It's the way it's going to go. As a result of this, all right, engineers have been working steadily around the clock to find more and newer efficient ways to have the trucking industry have much more efficient trucks. All right, look, they've already run. You got to understand something. These trucks out there traditionally got somewhere between 2 and 4 miles to the gallon. Okay, and these trucks now get between 6 and 8 miles to the gallon. All right, it's not a lot, grant you, but stop and think about all the tonnage that they are carrying over the roads. All right, when it comes on down to a per pound basis, it is actually still very, very, very cheap. Railroads being the same way. All right, the more of it that you can get behind one engine pulling it down the road, all right, the more efficient it is, the cheaper it gets for everybody. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. It's going to end up working out. Okay, but naturally, the price of that diesel fuel is going to spur the sort of engineering advances that need to be made, the research and development that needs to be done in the trucking industry in order to bring about more fuel-efficient trucks. Okay, making a federal mandate, okay, which is supposed to force this legislation, or I'm sorry, which is supposed to force this technology into existence, is not the way to do it. You do not fetter these people. You do not put them under the gun. You do not put time limits on them, okay, because you will cause them to A, make mistakes, all right, or B, make expensive mistakes. Either way, stop and think about it, okay? You wanted this done before. You dopey-ass liberals out there think you're going to get something just because you mandated through the government. No, okay? Think about what you mandated when you put MTBE into all of our gas tanks all around the country, and it ended up seeping through every little pore and, man, yeah, how about that, huh? How about that shit leaking out and ruining groundwater supplies all over the place? All right? Stupid asses need to wake up. That's what it's all about. All right? Let industry handle this. We'll watch what happens. If they come up with a new product, hey, go out and check out the new product before you let them see to see that it was going to leak out of any gas tank that you put it into, no matter how tight recovery systems were. You should have known that before you stuffed it in there. Okay? Idiots. I'll tell you something. You know, there's nothing worse in the world than a left-wing environmentalist. You get one from the right wing, such as myself, and you're going to get some damn positive reinforcing things happening. You're going to get some good things happening in the environment, you know, and you're going to have a nicer environment in the end of it here. But the lefties, no. You idiots, you've got to rush to make legislation when you have not gotten the science down straight yet. And I'm sorry, the science is still out there on a few things, especially global warming. And I had a good one here this morning on global warming. Matter of fact, folks, if you take a look over on my Facebook account, Mark Belcher, yeah, that's me on Facebook, take a peek. I had a really good video down on there this morning, and I believe that the man's name, matter of fact, I believe if I look here real fast, no, I don't have it open anymore, what do you call it? There's a real good video by the guy who started the Weather Channel. And, matter of fact, let me take a real good peek here. I may have it. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Did I put it down here for before you? Yes. Okay. The man's name. He's running with 30,000 other scientists who are suing Al Gore over fraud with global warming. There's quite a bit of it out there. You can find it on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, TheJonesReport.com, and Infowars.net also has it out there. Run by Steve Watson, Paul Watson. There's quite a bit of it out there. So, folks, take a look at it. Yeah, Al Gore is being sued to the bejesus. You got to love it. It's quite a thing. Yeah, it's good for him to go down. At any rate, folks, we have once again, we are hit the top here. It's been a long day, been a long night. And crazy times happening here in the Northeast. Yours truly, been working a lot lately. My band is just kicking. I've been going crazy up all nights here again. Going insane. We got a 6-piece band together, and it's smoking. And finding myself getting booked up right on through Christmas into the New Year's. Got a lot happening. It's just life is looking pretty good here for somewhat. Just wish I could find a real job for a day job so I could start paying taxes again. All right. Yeah, you gotta love it. But folks, but at any rate, here, we've hit the top of the hour, and it is time once again to close the cafe up. It's lights are getting dim, the tables are all getting piled high with chairs, Maitre D' going around doing his final things. Most of the waitresses are blown out of here already, but as always, the cafe will be closing, but the bar will be open for a while. First round is always on me, so belly up to the bar, top shelf tonight, in recognition of what happened there last week at the elections. I think we'll just have a good old time. But if folks want to say thank you once again, we'll be back again Monday night next week at 9 p.m. here at HearnCo.com, the best in internet talk radio. So good night, folks. Good night from the Politics Cafe at www.HearnCo.com. We'll see y'all later, and you have a fine time. Thank you.